Brilliant. Well, do you know something? East Belfast, lad, you don't really need a mic. You hear us a mile away. Folks, it's great to be with you tonight. I feel like Britney Spears with this mic on me, by the way. So I do. Leave the Glen men alone, by the way. I went to Fermanagh to give my testimony one night, and there's a wee, I got up and said, you know, the wise men come from East Belfast. I said, the wise men come from the East. And a wee man stood up and says, I don't forget to travel to the West. I says, touche. Folks, let's just pray, first of all. Heavenly Father, we just pray your blessing upon tonight. Lord, we understand your word when it said, apart from me, you can accomplish nothing. So Holy Spirit, I pray if there is a soul in here tonight that needs you, I pray that you would draw them like only you can. Lord, we're only vessels, but you make us fit and ready for the Master's use tonight. Bless this testimony and the word that will come after. And in all things, may Christ Jesus himself take all the glory. We ask it all for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, great to be with you tonight. My name's Stuart Elliott. I grew up in East Belfast, as I've already said, one of a very big family. Listen to this, I had seven sisters. It's like a great tribulation in my house, having seven sisters. Two brothers and a mum and dad who just worked very hard and loved all of their children. From a very early age, my love was for football. I dreamt of playing for the best team in Northern Ireland, Glentoran Football Club. There's a few blue men in here tonight, by the way. Play for Glentoran. Dreamt of playing for, you know, just gracing the oval turf. The distant dream for me was to go on to the mainland and play for a Scottish or an English league club. And of course, the ultimate dream for any young lad growing up in Belfast would be to play for Northern Ireland one day. My football career began to take off in primary seven when I was in Mersey Street Primary School, but my teacher came and asked me if I would represent our school at the Greater Belfast Trials. These trials brought the best two boys together from County Antrim and County Down. And to cut a long story short, that particular year, I was awarded the Belfast School's Player of the Year. Leading on from that, there was a knock came to my back door one night. My dad answered the door. It was a man called Joe Kincaid. He was the chief scout for Rangers Football Club on the Shankill Road. And he runs St Andrews and the boys' club's champions there. And he asked my father if my dad could take me over onto the Shankill to play for the Northern Ireland champions. And my little heart started to beat that bit faster because I knew this was a stepping stone then into the professional ranks. For my sins, in those days, I also joined Manchester United School of Excellence. That's against my religion. I'm a Liverpool supporter. And then, to be honest with you folks, life couldn't have been much better for me. I had a good family, good friends, and good football prospects. But one Saturday afternoon, a tragedy hit my family. And that I'm on my way home from an amateur league game one day with a friend of mine called Paul Lehman. I was walking back down Mersey Street where I lived, next to the Oval, and Paul's auntie came out of one of the side streets, and she had said to me, Stuart, you need to rush on home, son. And I knew by the look in this girl's face that something wasn't quite right, so I prepared myself for the worst as I made that short journey from where I met her to where my home was. And when I got to the end of the street, I seen my Uncle Billy. He was there to meet me just on the bridge there at Mersey Street, and he broke the news to me that my dad, who was just 49 years of age in the prime of his life, had dropped dead on the Craigie Road whilst out working, took a massive heart attack. Now, folks, that was devastating for our family. And I remember going round into my little home that day and seeing people coming in and consoling my mum and my brothers and sisters and the wider family circle all sitting around. And for me as a 13-year-old kid, the reality that my dad had gone forever, it just wouldn't hit home with me. And then it finally did when they brought his casket in. And I remember looking into that casket and seeing the lifeless body of the man that I loved. And that, even as a 13-year-old kid, got me thinking about eternity and what came after this life. Where did the life go to? To take away the threat from the tragedy of losing my dad, I then began to pursue this football dream. So for the next 2 years, I went on to win 2 Northern Ireland championships at boys' clubs level with St Andrews. But at the age of 15, I was told in no uncertain terms, when other boys were getting apprenticeships to go to Irish League clubs, some of them were even going further afield to Scotland and England, I was told that I was underdeveloped and I wasn't going to make the next step into the semi-professional or professional ranks. And I left the Mountain View Club on the Shankill that day and I was totally devastated because I'd thrown all my eggs into one basket. I wanted to pursue this football dream. And so from the age of 15 to 16, you know, life was decent enough, but I was spending on the street corners with my mates. No real direction. Here I am, 13, my father's passed away. 15, my football dream collapses. 16, I'm leaving school. My future's uncertain because I've no qualifications. And my family situation's not great because my mum has left to bring probably what 4 or 5 of us still at home on a shoestring budget, although she tried her best. And it was during those days, I was quite a deep thinker as a kid. I used to walk the streets and ask myself the question, what is life really all about? What am I here for? And why has life dealt me this hand? Folks, I am passionate to tell you tonight that I found out a year later what life is really all about. And I found that life is in a person, and he's the one that we've been singing about tonight, God's Son, the Lord Jesus. Volume 1, let me tell you about my conversion. Laying in my bed, one August sunny morning, 1985, my wee cousin Glenn, his brother's here tonight, I can see him at the back. Glenn knocked my door, my bedroom door. I was having a lazy morning, as teenagers do. And Glenn said to me, Stuart, the White Whale Church are having a tent crusade on King George V Plainfields. Would you like to come round? My uncle Billy, he had been gloriously saved in the White Whale Church, and then he had a heart to come back to East Belfast to tell people about the change that Christ had made in his life. And I said to him, Glenn, I have no real interest in Christianity. And Glenn, knowing me, said to me, Stuart, they're giving away free cheeseburgers and cans of Coke around there. And folks, I'll be honest with you, I went around for a free cheeseburger. I had no interest in the things of God. But you see, when I arrived at that field that day, I seen something in those Christian people that I knew my mates in the street corners didn't have. And I began then to inquire, and I remember one of the young men who, looking after the caravan, he began to tell me this, and he said this to me. He says, Stuart, we don't have religion as much as we have a relationship with the living Christ. He's changed our life, and he can change yours as well. And God started to deal with me. My football dream started to get it back on track again because I went to join Glenton under-17s at that particular time. And then on my way home from the training sessions, I would usually go down the Black Path in East Belfast, go left in the park, get to stand with my mates and do what young lads always did. But I found myself going right into the King George V playing fields to stand and listen to Pastor James McConnell preaching the gospel. If you've ever heard this man preaching, he doesn't miss and hit the wall. And he told me about Christ, my need of a Savior. And he made it clear to me that if I wanted to get to heaven, then I had to put my trust in Christ. And for the forgiveness of my sins, I had to repent. And my life was at a crossroads, folks. I had a decision to make. Stuart Elliott, are you going to go back onto the street corners and walk the way of the crowd? Or are you going to turn, repent of your sins, and walk the way of the cross? That was the decision. For 3 weeks, I put off making my decision, perhaps because I was weighing it up, perhaps because I was afraid of what, you know, my mates would say. But on the 3rd of September 1995, my Uncle Billy put me in the car to take me from East Belfast into the church on the Shore Road, and I got the same welcome from these same Christians. I had 15 handshakes before I sat down on my seat. I remember standing with my cousin Glenn on the balcony on the right-hand side and seeing people lifting their hands, like many of you have done here tonight, and worshipping God with a passion in this big auditorium. And I'm nudging my wee cousin Glenn, saying, look at the state of your man over there. You never get me doing the likes of that. Knowing that it was only a matter of time before I became one of them, because God was dealing with me. So on the 3rd of September 1995, in the balcony of the White Whale Church in Belfast, I raised my hand that night to say that I wanted to become a Christian and accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And of course, the famous story of my testimony is Pastor McConnell looks up into the balcony talking about me. He says, there's a lovely young woman up there, a congregation wants to be saved. I was raging with him. I had long hair at the time. My hair's falling out now. I was taking sunbeds. I was wearing these blue velvet jackets from Topman. And I thought I was God's answer to girls, and here he mistakes me for being a girl. It was a humbling experience. But folks, listen. In amongst the laughter, I left that church that night and I knew I was born again. I knew I was never going back to my old life. You know why? Because metaphorically speaking, as I looked at the cross and seen what Jesus Christ had done for me, I decided that night that I was not going to live this Christian life for 50%. I was going to live it full throttle for the Savior. And that is what marked Stuart Elliott's life from that night forward. A wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ. Yes, there was mistakes. Yes, there was failures. Yes, there was letdowns. But I serve a gracious God. And God took this young man's life and was about to do something spectacular with it. Joined Glen 117s just after becoming a Christian. And I can see now the hand of God in my life. Made it into the Glentoran first team in a little over a year. Made my debut against Dungannon Swift. Scored in my debut. And went on to win 10 major trophies under Roy Coyle's management. Two Irish Cups, one Irish League, and every other trophy in Irish League football twice over. Was their top scorer 3 out of the 5 seasons it was there, and the runner-up to Northern Ireland Footballer of the Year in the last season at Glentoran. I was supposed to go to Preston, but the deal fell through, I think because the Glens were looking too much money. But I was left disappointed. I went back to my wee home in Rathcoole, and I said to my wife, I really want to make this step into the professional ranks now in England or Scotland. And I remember getting on my knees in my bedroom and praying, Lord, would you open a door for me? A short while after that, Roy Coyle called me and he said, Stuart, unbeknownst to you, Motherwell Football Club have been watching you in the Irish Cup final. Billy Davis has put £120,000 in for your signature. And here's what he said, we need the money and you need to go. And I said to him, oh, thanks for giving me honest. It was blatantly honest. But folks, here's the thing. I remember it was a 4-day transition from my time in Belfast to moving to Lanarkshire. And my wife and I and my young son, we went down to Port Ballantoy, and they were on the beach soaking up some rays. And I went out beside the wee cafe and overlooked the Irish Sea. And I remember praying, Lord, you've blessed me here in Northern Ireland. And I'm about to go into what they call the mainland in full-time football. When I get there, I do not want to hide my light. I want to shine for you. And folks, God heard that prayer and put me to the test. I arrived in the Motherwell changing room. Andy Gorham, Rangers in Scotland legend there. Wolves legend, Don Goodman. Chelsea legend, John Spencer. Billy Davis, ex-Nottingham Forest manager. Lee McCulloch, ex-Rangers captain. Robert Martinez, now the Belgian manager. And on and on and on. All these great players. And this little whippersnapper from East Belfast sitting in the corner thinking, what on earth am I even doing here? When John Spencer, I always tell this story, he pulls this big fat Buddha statue out of his bag. And he says, fellas, I'm a practicing Buddhist. And I want every one of you to pledge your allegiance to Buddha today. And I just put my hands on my head and went, Lord, you really did hear that prayer. And God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to me and said, take your stand right now in front of all of these so-called stars. And he came to me and he said, long story short, Stuart, pledge your allegiance to Buddha. I says, I can't do it, John. And he says, why not? I says, because that thing you have in your hand is an idol. I'm a Christian. I serve a living Jesus Christ. Amen. And folks, do you know what? Andy Gorham pipes up. This is just a joke, by the way. And he heard the accent and he says, where are you from, son? I says, East Belfast. He says, what side of the fence are you from? I says, I'm a Rangers supporter. He turns to all the boys in the changing room. He says, anybody says anything to him? They'll have me to answer to. You know, the Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. The Bible says, they that are willing to honour me, I in turn will honour. So I say this to the glory of God, folks, not my own. I finished their top scorer both seasons running. My testimony went right throughout the main belt of Scotland. My time at Motherwell was come to a close. And I remember the club was going into administration. And I remember the last thing that I did at Motherwell. Am I okay for time, by the way? The last thing I did at Motherwell was have this big event called Encounter at the Well. We had 2,000 people showed up in the football stadium. There was testimonies, sporting personalities, and then I finished with this message. This was the message. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. And in other words, what the Lord was saying through Solomon was live for pleasure, live for sin, leave God out of your plans if you must. That's okay. But the verse finished by saying, know that for all of these things you choose to do, one day God will bring you into judgment. And I exhorted the congregation that night to remember their Creator in the days of your youth, chapter 12, verse 1. 35 people responded to the gospel that night. Now, here's what I'm telling you. I often tell this part of my testimony. There was a minister's son who'd heard sermons until they were coming out of his ears, but that night he surrendered his life to Christ. I found out 2 years later, 3 weeks after that event, that young man went out and was tragically killed in a car accident. But his dad sent a message to me to say, son, thank you, you preached the whole counsel of God that night, because my son went out into eternity and it was well with his soul. Are you saved tonight? The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If God is speaking to you, do not put it off. My time at Motherwell came to a close. The club is going into administration. Now watch the way the hand of God can lead someone. I said to my wife 2 weeks before this came about, I said, Laura, it wouldn't surprise me if God was to take us to Hull. And you say, well, why would you say that? Well, you see, I was part of the White Whale Church in Belfast, part of the Whitewell Daughter Church in Falkirk, and there was another affiliated church in England, and where was it? It was in the city of Hull. 2 weeks after me saying that to my wife, Terry Butcher calls me into his office and says, Stuart Elliott, Hull City have put a bid of £230,000 in for your signature. We need the money and you need to go. Sounds familiar. But folks, that was the hand of God. And tell you how specific the Lord was with me. I haven't told this often, but I went home and I wanted further confirmation from the Lord. I got on my knees in my study and prayed, Lord, do you want me to go to England? Do you know the first verse I opened at? I opened my Bible, and I don't do this often, but I did that day. Here's the verse, it was from Zechariah. Ho, ho, flee from the land of the north. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven, says the Lord. Closed the Bible, get into bed, and I said to my wife, we're going to Yorkshire in the morning. Folks, God answers prayer. Yeah. Arrived in Yorkshire, Hull City, you know, seventh biggest city in Britain, but they were at the bottom of second division. You know, it was like Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? The chairman, Jan Mulby, gets the sack, my manager, after 6 months. The chairman's invested £50 million in this big KC stadium. He's invested £1 million into the team, and he calls me into his porter cabin and says, Stuart, seeing the look on his face, he says, we're still at the bottom of the second division. I need the crowds coming in. My investment has gone down the drain. And I turned to him, being quite cocky in those days. I said, Mr. Chairman, I don't have all the answers here, but what I do know is this. God has brought me to this place for a purpose, and in the next couple of years of my contract, I believe you'll get your investment back. And he looked at me and said, are you mad, son? Folks, here's the truth. Went down, get into the car, put my head on the steering wheel, and I said to the Lord, why do I say stupid things like that to people now? I've really put myself under pressure to deliver. And the Lord spoke to me and says, son, if you will stand for me here in this city the way you did in Lanarkshire and the way you did in Belfast, I'll show these people what I can do through one young man who surrendered to me. Is it any coincidence then, after not having a promotion in 19 years, we win 2 promotions in 3 years? I'm their top scorer 4 out of the 6 seasons I was there from wide left. And in the second promotion winning season, I scored 29 goals from wide left with 10 weeks out of the team. Beat Thierry Henry to the Golden Boot. It's not bad, that sure, it's not. I'd get my head out that door the night and I sort of went. But it wasn't the accolades, won all of those promotions, but it wasn't the accolades that meant the most thing to me, folks. As I closed, you know what meant the most to me? As I would go round down the wing on a Saturday afternoon, I would hear coming out of the East Stand the song, here's to you, Stuart Elliott, Jesus loves you more than you will know. Simon and Garfunkel song, only to change the words in it. And many of those young men and women were coming off the terrace on a Saturday into the church, Living Hope Church, on a Sunday, and they were getting saved, and their families were getting saved. God was doing tremendous things off the field and off the field. Now, If you go back to Hull City today and mention Stuart Elliott's name, they'll say, yes, he was a good player. But what means most to me is many will say, there's a young man who wasn't ashamed to take a stand for Christ. Pinnacle of my career, and I'll finish with this, was playing for Northern Ireland. Some of the greatest stadiums in the world, the Lord allowed me to play in, and playing against some of the greatest players in the world. But the greatest night of my footballing career was beating England 1-0 at Windsor Park. Praise the Lord for miracles, eh? On the Saturday before that, scored a free kick against Azerbaijan at Windsor Park. I remember my testimony was given out to every person in that stadium that wanted one. Over 16,000 people that day. My testimony I got to give that Saturday night in the Methodist Church in Portadown to the hierarchy of the IFA, UEFA and FIFA. It was packed to the rafters. And then the England game, guess whose mug was on the front of the programme? Mine. I said to my wife, look at that. I'll look back in 60 years and say, who was that good looking young Irishman on the front of that program? And she says, I catch herself on. Folks, here's what I want to say, in all seriousness. That was the pinnacle for me. That was the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. God had fulfilled every desire that I could have ever wanted. And I remember going around the stadium celebrating with all my countrymen and women, seeing the Ulster flags, Beckham, Lampard, Gerrard, you know, Rooney, they were all there. And then I went into Windsor Park and I sat down in the corner. And honestly, when the press was running back and forward, I can still remember, Laurie Sanchez was going around congratulating everybody. I just sat in the corner by myself and took a moment and thought about the kid from East Belfast who lost his dad, football dream collapsing, future left uncertain, no qualifications. And then I thought about the night that I made the greatest decision of my life to follow Jesus Christ. And I can say of a truth that he'd been faithful to me every step of the way, and he's still faithful tonight. Here's what I want to say, and I'm finishing. Stuart Elliott's testimony is not one of an extraordinarily talented young footballer. The reality is I wasn't that much more talented than any lad who never made it off these shores. Stuart Elliott's testimony of a truth tonight, and I know this, is one of a very ordinary, sometimes mixed up young man, but has an extraordinary Saviour. This Jesus that changed my life can change yours tonight, and he's here to do so. I'm going to hand it back to the pastor. God bless you. Thank you.
You can hear everybody saying, I'm going to, well, here he goes now. How do you match that, you know? But, you know, God's word is God's word, and we look to that, and just as Stuart has given glory to the Lord, we'll seek to do the same in the preaching of his word here, and that'll be brief. Stuart, just to say thank you very, very much for coming along and giving a wonderful, wonderful testimony to God's amazing grace. There's no doubt anybody leaving here will know it wasn't about you. You can hear it clearly. It was all about Jesus. Let's just pray as we turn to the word. Eternal Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask now, Lord God, that you would open our ears to hear what you're saying to us. We've heard a wonderful, wonderful testimony of your amazing grace in the life of a young man surrendered to you. And you know every person that's here tonight. You know every person watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast. And you're still the same God, and you're saying to them, you want to see what I can do with your life if you will surrender it to me. Lord, speak tonight through your living and active word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. From January, when we started our series, Are You Mad With Jesus? And we've had people going past saying, mad, I'm flaming angry with him, all right, he done this, he done that, he let this one die, let that happen. We said, you've missed the point. Mad means making a difference. Are you mad with Jesus? Since January, we've sought to answer the following questions. How did Jesus make a difference in the lives of people in the Bible? And how does Jesus make a difference in people's lives today? And you've just heard an example. Tonight we've heard from Stuart how Jesus made a difference and still is making a difference in his life. And how Stuart is mad with Jesus. He's here making a difference because of Jesus making a difference in his life. Well, I'm going to read some of the most famous verses from the Bible. Most of you here will probably know the first one. In John chapter 3, and I'm reading from verses 16 through to 18, and God's word says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that's you, "that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him," he who believes in Jesus, "is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God doesn't mince his words. He says it as it is. If we only knew about Jesus what we learned, for example, at Sunday school or at church, or maybe from reading the Bible or from films, movies these days, if we only knew Jesus from these things, I suppose it could be argued, maybe, you know, he's nothing more than just an historical figure who has made his mark. And I hear people saying that all the time. He's no different than King Billy. He's no different than this one or that one in history. He's just another figure who has made his mark. But you know, you can also learn about Jesus from sources outside of religious writings. So it is historically factual. There's no doubt about this, that Jesus existed. We know that he was born in Bethlehem. We know that he grew up in Nazareth, that he ministered throughout Israel, and we know that he was executed outside Jerusalem. However, last Sunday, Christians in this place celebrated the fact that Jesus is alive. So how can an historical figure who lived 2,000 years ago in Israel still be celebrated today as being alive, roughly 1,985 years after he was executed? Well, the answer is simple, and Stuart has given us that answer tonight. Jesus is alive. What Stuart told you this evening isn't based on just another historical figure. This Jesus Stuart spoke about isn't a figment of his imagination. This Jesus that Stuart spoke about, who's making a difference in his life, is the same Jesus whom the Apostle John wrote about in the Gospels here in the Bible. This Jesus is the living Son of God, whom the Father in heaven, out of his love for us, sent into the world to die to pay the price for our sin. Jesus came and died to satisfy the just demands of God's law against sin. God's law says, whosoever sins, the soul that sins will die. Take a walk up the Clandy Boy graveyard and see if God's telling lies. The soul that sins will die. But Jesus, who did not sin, died to pay the debt for our sin so that we could live. And now God the Father says, simply, he doesn't mince his words, whosoever. It doesn't ask what you have done in life. It doesn't ask how bad you are. It doesn't say how good you are. It says, whosoever believes, whosoever has active faith. It's not just, oh, I believe in Jesus in my head. It's an active faith. Whoever has active faith in Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. whosoever includes you. But you need to activate your faith. Whoever believes, as I said, not just simply head knowledge, but has active faith in Jesus, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The other side of the coin, those who do not believe, those who do not activate their faith, those who do not have an active faith in the living Jesus, God's word says it, not Taddy Gordon, not Stuart Elliott, God's word says they are condemned already. And I've been through the courts many, many times in my life, from magistrates' courts with Wishart Mills taking great delight in sending me to prisons and wherever else, through to the high courts getting sentenced for years. And I know what it feels like when you're condemned already. And do you tonight understand what it means when God's word tells you you are condemned already if you do not believe, have active faith in Jesus? It means that on the day of judgment, and there is a day of judgment coming, when every single person on the face of this planet must give account to God for what we did about Jesus. It's not about how bad we were as sinners. It's not about did we do all of these terrible things or did we do these nice religious things. It's not about stuff like that. It is what have you done about Jesus? And on the day of judgment, we will be asked, what did we do about Jesus? And no unbeliever, no person who dies without Christ will be there to plead their case and try up to weigh the good in their life against the bad of their life and hope that the good outweighs the bad. That's not going to happen. Being condemned already means on the day of judgment, the unbeliever, those who die without faith in Jesus, will have this sentence passed. And I hope and pray when I say these words that you are never going to hear these words on the day of judgment. But this is the sentence that will be passed upon an unbeliever who dies without Christ. Jesus himself will say, "Depart from me into everlasting punishment, for I do not know you." That's his words. I promise you, every unbeliever who stands before the living Jesus on the day of judgment will hear these words, "Depart from me into everlasting punishment, for I do not know you." But the good news is the Apostle John who wrote those famous words, "For God so loved." Do you understand? This is you that God is speaking to tonight. Put your own name in this tonight. God is saying, "I love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The Apostle who wrote those words also wrote at the end of this gospel these words, "But these words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Do you believe in the historical figure of Jesus? Do you believe what the Bible says about him? Do you believe what Stuart has told you tonight about Jesus? Let me say to you tonight, Jesus is alive. Jesus is making a difference in the lives of people who have faith in him. Is Jesus making a difference in your life tonight? Are you mad with Jesus? Stuart is. And so can you be if you will confess your sin. And I say this, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll keep saying it until the Lord calls me home. See, confess your sin. That doesn't mean run to the nearest police station and tell them all the bad things you've ever done. I wouldn't recommend it. Confess your sin doesn't mean come into the wee back room and tell Daddy Taddy Gordon all your horrors. have enough horrors of my own. I don't need to know yours. Confess your sin means confess, agree with God when he says you are a sinner. He already knows everything that you have done. When he says confess your sin, it means agree with God, you are a sinner. And then repent. Turn around from that sin and have active faith in Jesus. You've got to make the decision like Stuart did, and you've got to follow it up. That's active faith in Jesus. If you want Jesus to make a difference in your life, you've got to do those things. Confess. Admit that God is right. You are a sinner, and you're deserving of hell, aren't we all? But God's arms are wide open to receive you tonight if you will just call upon his name and put your life into his hands. Stuart said something that I just thought was so wonderful about his life and about how the Lord honors prayer. As a young man getting down and saying, Lord, I want to honor you. Christian, let me tell you, never be afraid to take a stand for Jesus, because he took a stand for you. If you would like to become a Christian, if you want to know how to become a Christian, if you want to give your life to the Lord, if you want to confess your sin and agree with God that you are a sinner, and you want Jesus to make a difference in your life tonight, then please speak to myself, speak to Stuart. There are other Christians here. Please don't leave this place without sorting this out with God. Like Stuart said about that, about his dad, about that young guy who gave his life to the Lord and was wiped out just 3 weeks later, but he went into an eternity with Christ. You do not want to go into an eternity without Christ. If you do, you will hear the words, depart from me into everlasting punishment, for I don't know you. But if you would like to be a Christian, if you would like to surrender your life to Jesus, then make it known tonight, and one of us will happily pray with you and lead you to Jesus so that he can make a difference in your life. And if you're listening on Facebook or to our podcast and you too would like to become a Christian, then I would say to you, please private message Searle on his Facebook or contact us through the website via the email, and someone will immediately be in touch with you, and they will follow that up and help you to allow Jesus to make a difference in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, hear the words again. For God so loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that includes you, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That life is yours tonight through Jesus, if you want it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, wonderful God you are. How incredible is your love for every one of us. Lord, there is not a person in this room tonight. There's not a person on Facebook tonight that you love any more than anyone else. Lord God is here. You love us, Lord God, with a love that is immeasurable. And your arms are wide open to receive us. To all who will come to you through Jesus Christ, your Son, you will receive everyone, Lord, who comes. Father, tonight move. Move, Lord God, in this place. Move hearts tonight by your Spirit. Move hearts, Lord God, tonight who are listening to Facebook, Lord God, watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast. Move in people's hearts and lives. Let the testimony that Stuart gave, Lord, to your amazing grace speak into their lives. Let your word, Lord God, of how much you love people speak into their lives tonight. But remind them there is a day of judgment coming. And unless they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they will perish. It doesn't have to be that way. You've provided a full and a wonderful salvation for the whosoever will believe. And we pray tonight that all who are here, all who are tuning in, will actively believe in Jesus and be saved. We thank you, Lord. Amen.